Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
From Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am somewhat sleepy, Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 18th, 2011. A great day. It's episode 57, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
The finalists for Horse of the Year are Blame. Goldakova. Zenyatta. Horse of the Year.
The 2010 Horse of the Year. Zenyatta. Yeah!
This won't take me very long, but this was in the calendar from a farm called Tranquility Farm. They're one of the great, as there are so many, several great retirement farms for horses, and we all have to really contribute and help these people because they do the most important job of retiring thoroughbred horses once they're finished at the racetrack. And she wrote a piece, and it's in the calendar, and I clipped it out, and this is written by Priscilla Clark, who's the president of Tranquility Farm. And it just said, if you love thoroughbred horses, you go through life hoping that you can just see one more in whose presence the clouds fall away to reveal the mountaintop. It can take a generation or infinitely longer for such a horse to arrive, a horse that is capable of carrying the human heart. For the last 100 years, we know them all by name. But Zenyatta brought to us a beauty that was a tonic for the soul. She allowed us to believe in the impossible. And it was the light in her being, as much as the thrill of her races, that got us dancing. Zenyatta was transformative.
As Chief Geek of the Horse Radio Network, the voice of the horse world, and America's horse husband, I officially declare this Zenyatta Day!
Woo-hoo! Oh, that's so fantastic! won.
Happy
Zenyatta won,
Day, everybody.
Oh, my gosh, this is so exciting. As, you know, out here in Phoenix, we don't get TVG. We certainly don't. TVG wasn't broadcasting it online. So I was at the whim of Glenn and my friend Nancy in Lexington to text me or call me and let me know if she won. And I was on the edge of my seat, and I finally got the text, and all it said was, Zee!
It was. Last night was great. It was, well, we'll talk about the show a little bit later on. But the winner was announced last. Of course, they play that to the hilt because they knew this has probably been the most watched TVG show in history.
And
certainly the biggest and most watched Eclipse show in history. But the final vote came was close. It was 128 votes for Zenyatta and 102 for Blame. And then Gold Dakota got 5 votes, but so it was really close.
That's unbelievable. I cannot imagine the 102 people that voted for Blame. What are you thinking? But it's okay. She won. I'm so excited. This is officially Zenyatta Day, and we hope all of you will find a moment to honor Zenyatta in your day. Today, I don't know how we're going to, we're just going to talk about Zenyatta all day long, talk about her people. We're going to talk to a bunch of guys that are in the horse racing world, and Jen will tell us more about that coming up. But we have an awesome, awesome show for listeners, including tons and tons of giveaways. And I don't want to hear anything from any of you calling me and telling me on Facebook that I might not give you a Zenyatta card. Monet, because we are going to give Zenyatta Monets away today on the show, so you can give away your own Monets.
That's
so
right. We're going to have a bunch of prizes today for callers. We really would like to hear from everybody. We'd like to, for you to share in the party here on Zenyatta Day. The first caller that calls in today will win a Horse Radio Network baseball hat signed by the Horses in the Morning crew, by Jamie, myself, and Jennifer. Well, you will get a signed Horses in the Morning baseball hat, so give us a call. One lucky winner out of all the callers today will win one of those Monet gift cards, packs, one of the packs that includes Zenyatta's painting, and that's donated by rerun.org, and we'll announce at the end of the show who wins that. Also, we're going to be giving away a mineral rock from Redmond Rock. They're our favorite salt company. These rocks are unbelievable. They're actually mineral rocks, you know, like a salt brick that you get, only they're the rock that dig out of the ground. And our horse speaker absolutely loves these things. Every horse at the barn goes nuts for them. They were so popular that there are cows turned out in our field after the horses leave. They rotate the field. The cows were over licking the spots where the Redmond rocks were. That's how much animals like these things. We're going to give away a 7 to 9 pound rock that will be sent to you by Redmond Rock today. So, and then we have a couple of other prizes that we're going to give away today. Frankie Lovato is going to be on a little later. I don't want to steal Jennifer's thunder, but he's giving away one of his DVDs as well. So there's tons of stuff today. Give us a call at 347-637-3238. And it looks like our first caller is already here and going to win the Horse Radio Network hat, and that is Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Welcome. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Well, hey, Glenn and Jamie. How are you?
We're great. Are you excited?
Oh, I was so excited. I was watching it live on TV last night, and it was probably the best moment since I've followed racing. So it was really great to watch.
Are you a big racing fan?
Yeah, I've actually followed racing since I was 9 years old, and every year try to catch the key races, and she's been the horse of my lifetime, so.
Oh, without a doubt, girl. You sound a lot like me, you know, like kind of trying to get as many bits and pieces as I could growing up, and then, you know, watching all the races live now. So the past 2 years, you know, it's been Zenyatta. And, you know, every time she races, it's like a holiday for me. And every time she did race, I should say. And I'm sure it was like that for you. So what was it like watching the – because I didn't get to see the show. They don't broadcast TVG here. So what was it to see the show? How was it?
Well, I mainly caught the main moment. I realized it was on a little bit late, and I don't know. I screamed at the TV. I was so excited. So.
Well, I'll give you a Sarah. I'll talk about a little bit later about my opinions of the show in general. And then I'll give you some, what some of the Twitterers were saying. I was actually doing the new media thing. I was watching it on TV and also following the stream on Twitter. And actually, they said for the first time last night, horse racing went above Justin Bieber on Twitter as far as the number of tweets. Yes.
Wow. That's
yeah, the
awesome.
The Eclipse Awards actually beat Justin Bieber last night. So that's how many people were tweeting about it. It was funny, some of the comments. But, Sarah, thank you so much for calling in. Do me a favor. Drop me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com with your address, and we'll send you out your Horse Radio Network baseball hat signed by the
great
game.
Great. I appreciate it. And y'all are doing a great job with the show.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
Oh,
have fun.
Bye.
Well, that's
this
terrific. So nice of Sarah to call in and share in her excitement.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this, I'm telling you, I do not remember a horse race, a horse in my lifetime that has garnered this much excitement and this much attention from men and women, you know, everywhere, but especially women, because, you know, it's a girl horse. She was 19-0. She went for the Breeders' Cup. You know, it's just, and the Mosses and the Zenyatta Camp have done such an amazing job by making her a part of the public. And that's part of his speech and everything was getting her out there and making your horse available to the public so you can promote racing, you can promote the goodwill, you can give the story to everybody and let them kind of have that. Like he said, he goes, then you got the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly.
You do all that.
You know, he was interesting. Moss was very good in his speech last night. And, of course, he's a music guy, so he told the story about how Zenyatta got her name. But before we go too much further, I noticed we have other callers calling in, and we need to get to them. I wanted to say, Jamie, I know we have a lot of new listeners to the show today, so I want to remind everybody that you can listen on your phone. You can just go to horsesinthemorning.mobi on the web on your phone, and you can hit the play button and listen on your smartphone. And also wanted to mention that there's whole conversations that go on over on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. That's where we post pictures and videos during the show. So make sure you become a fan of that. Let's go to our next caller here. It looks like a friend of ours calling in. Good morning, Robert. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Well, happy Zenyatta Day.
A good day in the horse world, in my opinion.
A very good day.
So were you watching last night?
I wasn't. I just told Jennifer I was out shopping last night. So.
Oh, Robert. Oh, you're killing me here.
Well, Jamie appreciates shopping, too.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Love it. Especially when it comes to incorporating a tack shop into your shopping day. So where'd you go? What'd you get? What'd you miss the Zenyatta Horse of the Year nod for?
You know, I actually bought some beads to make jewelry. I could make Zenyatta a nice beaded brow band, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
They would love it. They would love it.
Probably appreciate
it. I would love it.
So, Robert, the one thing we have not mentioned is Jamie's puppies yet today, and we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. We're going to find out, number one, did Jamie get the puppies? And there's a little story behind that, I think. And the second thing is, did she name the puppy? That's the next question. Yeah, so we're going to find that out later in the show. After our Zenyatta talk a little later in the show, we're going to find out if the puppies have a name and what happened last night. You asked on Facebook, Robert, if she slept at all. Did she, Jamie?
Oh, no. There was no sleeping in the Jennings household last night. Well, I do appreciate the fact that we have so many, you know, new listeners joining us today. Hello, everybody. I swear I am not usually this sleepy. We got a couple puppies. yesterday. They flew in last night, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I'm still last-minute name suggestions for the little girl. You can still submit them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/horsesinthemorning. And, Glenn, maybe you can post a picture of them, and we can take some names. The boy has officially been named, but we need a name for the little girl still.
You know what, Robert, though? Don't you think that, you know, that being Zenyatta won yesterday, there is no other choice for the name for the little girl, is there?
I agree. I think Chad just has to give in this time. Zenyatta won horse of the year on the day the puppy arrived. Come on.
Yeah, that's fate.
Thank you. I know. I'm telling you. I know these things. I'm going to announce the name by the end of the show. How about that? We will tell you the name of the puppy by the end of the show. So last-minute suggestions are welcome on facebook.com/horsesinthemorning.
Well, okay. There's the commitment. There it is. She laid it down. You heard it, Robert. You heard it.
I did.
Well,
we have a name coming up.
Thank you, Robert, for calling in. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you later.
All right.
And he's
have
also
a great
in
day.
The drawing. He's in the drawing for the Monet gift card set, including Zenyatta's painting by rerun.org. Love, love, love those people and what they do. So that, and then also a mineral rock from Redmond Rock. And I'd never heard of this in my life, and I'm watching the video online, and the horses actually are going crazy for these rocks. They're like real rocks with minerals in them, and they look like rocks, and they are rocks, and they're going crazy over them. So, yeah.
Cool.
He's in the drawing for those, too.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's get to our first guest today. He is a regular here on Horses in the Morning.
Jennifer hasn't told us what's coming up after that. I have no idea.
All right, Jennifer, we'll go to Jennifer first. Sorry about that. I'm so excited today.
I was going to sneak under the radar today. Darn. All right, on today's show, we have Glenn and Jamie talking about Zenyatta and puppies. We have Frankie Lovato, retired champion jockey and inventor of the Equisizer, talking about Zenyatta and puppies. Retired jockey Richard Migliori from HRTV talking about Zenyatta, but probably not puppies. Angela from Horse Girl TV talking about her shows, Zenyatta, and hopefully puppies. Listeners calling in to talk about Zenyatta and puppies. Facebook contributors writing about Zenyatta and puppies, and the winning of lots of prizes.
Yes!
Yes.
I love it.
Thank you, Jennifer. All right, let's get to our first guest. He's a regular here on Horses in the Morning. We love talking to him about racing. It is Frankie Lovato. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Good morning. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Isn't this a good day for racing,
God.
Frankie?
It really is. I cannot tell you how relieved I am that she was awarded this. You know, there's just no way about it. She proved that she earned it. The fans, I'm just very grateful that she got it. So, to me, there was no doubt. But, you know, I was trying to be impartial and being inside of racing and nothing away from blame. Zenyatta, you know, I wanted it so bad for the fans, for everybody.
You know, one of the things, Frankie. Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, I was just going to say, you wrote an article recently about Zenyatta, and I know that you were there on the edge of your seat, as we all were. How good do you think this is for racing that she won?
I think it's incredible. We spoke about this the last time I was on the show, and I thought if they didn't vote her, it would be such a slap in the face to these new fans that she's created. And that's millions and millions of new fans she put a spotlight on the racing business and you know, had she not won, and it's, I guess it's all about principle and these people that just were so excited about this mare, that had she not been voted, you know, the racing industry would have, you know, wiped their tears, or not even tears maybe, but, you know, we're used to this sort of thing. But as far as the new fans go, it would not have been a Cinderella story. It would have been basically just a slap in the face to these new fans that really got a good look at the business and excited about it. And new fans that will be a part of racing now for a long time to come, a new generation.
You know, that's very well said, Frankie, very well said. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the award ceremony last night and everything that happened there. But first, I wanted to announce that the first caller, the next caller, that calls in while Frankie's on the line here, we're going to give away a DVD, his DVD, What It Takes to Be a Jockey, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, too. And thank you so much for agreeing to give that away, Frankie.
My pleasure. Thank you, Glenn. I just hope somebody calls.
Okay. Well, we'll
I'll definitely $20.
If nothing else, Jamie will take it.
I'm teasing, exactly.
So give us a call at 347-637-3238 to win Frankie's DVD, What It Takes to Be a Jockey. Frankie, last night was the first night I have ever watched the Eclipse Awards. And, you know, I have to be honest, I was following Twitter as we were watching. I was kept following the Twitter stream, which was fun, by the way, because there were hundreds, and if not thousands of people tweeting about the Eclipse Awards. This had to be their highest rated show in history. Unfortunately, oh my God, I could have passed out about halfway through that show. They have got to do something about the 10-minute acceptance speeches. And could they have had more technical difficulties than they had in last night's show? You know, and I don't know if you want to comment on this or not, but, oh, it was excruciating at points. And, you know, I was excited for the people winning, but you know, it's just like the Emmys. They, you know, you have to cut them off after 30 seconds. One of the Twitter people said, oh, they need trumpeters to play, you know, what they play before a race, Call to the Post. They need to play Call to the Post after about 30 seconds to get them the heck out of there. It did get long.
It's funny you say that. As we're watching this show, Sandy and I are sitting on a couch, and I'm like, when's the music going to start playing for this guy?
Yeah, it's like the Oscars.
But there was no music to tell them, like, okay, let's cut it off. But I tell you, a couple of those speeches that I was glad that people were able to – well, Mary Lou Whitney, that – I was crying on the couch. Mary Lou Whitney, I don't know if you caught that or not.
Yes, I did. And that was obviously one of the better ones. Can you tell us a little bit about her? Because that was one of the poignant moments. She got, I'm trying to think of what they called the award, was a Lifetime Achievement Award or something like that.
Yeah, Award of Merit.
Do you know anything about her? Can you talk about her a little bit?
She's a lot of fun. I never got to really hang with her crowd too much, but they call her the Queen of Saratoga. She hosts all these wonderful events and parties, and she's at the racetrack every day, and she's just, a full-spirited, a lot of fun, huge racing fan and contributor to the industry. And as you saw me yourself in the show last night, I mean, she does so much more than the actual racing. I mean, she's into from the breeding to the retirement of racehorses, and she promotes all that. The backstretch, and she goes on and on. Just a great human being within the industry, but a lot of fun too. She's crazy outfits. She's a blast.
How much as a jockey do you get to see that side of the track, the owners and all of that? Do you get to share in there? Obviously you do in the winner's circle, but beyond the winner's circle, do you get to share in that excitement? And do you get invited to the parties? How much of that are the jockeys actually involved with?
Well, not much, really. It's very seldom can you plan a party off a horse race? Because you never know if you're going to win or not. But the celebration-wise, it's rare for us to be at the same place, the same time, the same event. Most of the owners don't actually live where their horses are being raced. So
right.
That's one thing. You know, you got, let's say for example, you got your trainers and owners. Your trainers are where the races are, but the owners, they might be on the farm in Kentucky somewhere. And they might fly in. They may not even make the trip unless it's a big race, a special race that they'll fly in to see their horses run. And then after the races are over, I mean, the jockeys, the average jockey, I mean, you put in a full day of racing and morning workouts racing, you go home, you're pretty tired. So so you're not out on the nightlife. You're not, like, doing all this. It's very rare that you be mingling. Saratoga is a great place for that because everybody does kind of come into one place and spend some time. But other than that, it's not often.
Now, I have a question for you, Frankie. You know, you're being very modest here. We're talking about the Eclipse Awards. We're talking about this huge award show where people get up and give their speeches. I want to know, what was it like when you won your Eclipse Award, and what was your speech?
Oh, I've got a great story to that. When I won the Eclipse Awards, it was 1980. It was for the Apprentice of the Year. And the Eclipse Awards were set up a little different back then because you knew you were the winner. You didn't buy your plane ticket on a whim. I mean, you went there knowing they announced the winner. So I had a chance to plan. I know that my mom and dad and Sandy, we weren't married then, but we all flew out to Beverly Hills, California, and rented tuxedos. Back then it was really cheesy because had different colored tuxedos. I don't know if you can imagine that. It was kind of the thing back then. I mean, it was okay to wear like a brown or a tan or a yellow tuxedo. So we had our
1980.
Yeah. So we had our goofy looking tuxedos, and me and my dad, and my mom says, "Well, what are you going to say for a speech?" And I said, "Well, gosh, I didn't really think of that." So I scribbled something down on a napkin, and I was memorizing. As we got ready and dressed, I didn't realize how nervous I started to get, and I was actually literally started shaking, or I trembling. I couldn't stop it. And there we get to the award dinner, where the ceremony is replaced in the Century Plaza Hotel, and Cary Grant sitting at the table next to me. Some of these other famous actors and actresses. I
Cary Grant?
Yeah.
Cary Grant?
The Cary Grant.
Holy cow. Oh, my
gosh.
So,
I mean, I could, like, reach over and touch him, tap him on the shoulder if I wanted to. But it started like, wow, this is big. This is really big. And I started shaking more. And I said, my little speech, I was like, this is getting hard to memorize. Back then as well, they had a celebrity that would introduce each of the winners and call them up the stage. You'd be escorted by two beautiful models, and they would lead you upstage, and you had someone, they did like a whole, there was a big screen, they did your accomplishments for the year. It was really, really nice. And then the celebrity would say a little something and hand you your award, and you'd smile, make a speech, and then walk off stage. Well, Jim McKay was my celebrity. And are you familiar with Jim McKay?
Yes. The Wide World of Sports, Jim
yes.
McKay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a big
deal.
The agony of
defeat.
Exactly. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Yep.
Well,
with
you
that
were
fear going.
That was pretty cool for me because I grew up watching ABC Sports and the Derby commentating and all. I get up to the stage. I get escorted up to the stage, and Jim McKay starts talking about how he's a big fan of racing. And, I'm listening, and I'm trying to memorize my speech. I'm shaking in my shoes. I can't see. The spotlights are on, so all I can see is candles on the tables. And it was a much bigger room than was last night. All you can see is candles and tables for as far as it seemed like the size of a football field. So Jim McKay starts talking, and then he starts talking about how he just bought a farm, and talking. He must have, no kidding, about 10 minutes. And I was just at this point fried. I forgot my speech completely. and when they finally did give me the microphone, all I can do is, it was the weirdest thing. It dawned on me at that moment. I didn't know what to say. I thanked the racing industry. I remember my first line was like to thank the racing industry for giving this prestigious award, and I blanked out, and all I can see is these candles on the tables, and I said, you know what? I'm dedicating this to my dad. It hit me just like that. I dedicated it to my father. I said, you know what? My father, full-time career as a jockey as well. more deserved than me to win an award like this. And I said, this is his. And everybody started crying. I did it like much better than I just said to you, but I just it just came out, flowed out of me, and it was like a no-brainer. So that was my Eclipse Awards.
I can't tell you, though, that probably was much more effective than if you had read your speech, because, you know, it just was from the heart. And all of us that have performed on stage before and have been in situations like that know what it's like to get up there and totally blank out. It's
the
most horrible thing you ever have to do in your life. Hey, Frankie, I got good news for you. Evelyn from Maryland is on the line, and she's going to win your DVD, What It Takes to Be a Jockey. Hi, Evelyn.
Hello. Thank you so much. I have a 12-year-old granddaughter whose biggest wish is to become a jockey.
Oh,
so I love the DVD.
This will be perfect.
She got me started riding a couple years ago, and that's all she wants to do is become a jockey.
Well, excellent.
My family has a farm in northern Baltimore County, actually very close to where Jim McKay's farm was. And he was a big supporter of Maryland racing, which we're involved in. So, it's so cool to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled that you're going to get the DVD, and it's really set up for someone like her. So it'll be a lot of ins and outs, things that you probably would never have thought of trying to get started into the business, and a lot of these helpful tips that just kind of put you in a position to succeed rather than make mistakes. And in a business like this, mistakes could lead on to injuries. So the idea is to create basically a roadmap, so it would give them ideas and ways to plan and do things that will just create safety. And that's important in this business.
Oh, it surely is. Well, thank you so much. She's going to be so excited.
Excellent. I'll be sure to sign it if it's worth it.
Oh, that would be great. Yes, awesome. Thank you. And Jamie, I'll be glad. It's so good to finally talk to you.
Well, thank
you. I listen
to you
guys all the time.
Thank you so much.
Call in any time, please. We'd love to have you on.
And happy Zenyatta Day.
Zenyatta Day, Evelyn.
Zenyatta Day.
Yeah, we had a big debate about that here, so I'm glad you won. My brother-in-law is going to owe me some money.
Yay!
He was a Blame supporter.
What?
Boo.
You let him in the family?
What can you do? My sister married him, you know?
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But thank you so much.
Evelyn.
You guys are awesome. It's great listening.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Evelyn.
Bye-bye.
That's fantastic. That's going to make you feel good, Frankie, when you know, what you're doing reaches out and affects people like that. I'm so excited that you know, her granddaughter is going to be so thrilled to get this video. And, you know, just talk about the video, kind of what it does for riders or for anybody who wants to, be a jockey.
Well, thank you, by the way. The idea, the concept of it is when I was getting started, my father was also a jockey, but there's still this information that you kind of have to, sometimes you find out the hard way, and it's not only the actual riding, but it's basically from every aspect of what it takes to be a jockey or exercise rider or anybody that wants to, that's interested in horse racing and want to get into the business. It's kind of the inside looking out of getting started. And I covered topics from the simplest things as far as where you should start, how you should get started, what type of what you should keep in mind. There's so many details. I actually have like 100 different topics I covered. But it goes from that, and it goes to I cover health and nutrition. I cover all different kinds of exercise, riding tips, your mannerisms, how to handle yourself. I have a whole chapter on learning your racetrack, which is so important. It's funny how so many people get on that horse and go to the track, and the trainer will give them these instructions, like back up to the half mile pole and turn around and gallop three quarters, and it sounds Chinese. I shouldn't say that. It sounds like
it sounds foreign.
It sounds like a different language.
Yeah, there you go.
And can you beep that? Bleep that.
Live show, Frankie.
We're live.
Hey, Frankie.
Yeah.
It does sound terrific, and I'll tell you what. I wanted to ask you a question. Can you hold on? Are you allowed? Do you have time to stay with us for a little bit yet?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Because we have somebody that you know from way, way back on the line here. He's joining us next. He is a former jockey himself, Richard the Mig Migliori, and he is on the line here. We have to do a quick commercial. Jamie's going to do first, and then we're going to get the Mig on, and we're going to talk to the Mig about Zenyatta, and we would love for you to stay on and chat with him.
Oh, that'll be a blast. You better watch out.
Okay.
I'll have my beeper button at the ready.
Yeah. Too bad we don't have one of those. No cussing, boys. No cussing. It's Zenyatta Day, for crying out loud. All right. Well, hey, guys. This sponsor this half hour is Pfizer. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and other Innovator family vaccines, or learn more at PfizerAH.com. And just as we were talking about, we've got Richard the Mig Migliori from HRTV and also Frankie Lovato. And what we just found out was while the Mig was on hold, he said they actually know each other from way back. So let me get just a little bit of intro on you, Richard, and then we'll have you jump on here. But you were a winner of 4,450 races, 362 stakes, 25 Grade 1 events. And, I mean, you had to retire because of a fall, but what an amazing career you have had, and we welcome you to the show. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I was happy that Zenyatta won Horse of the Year, but at the end of the day, if Blame had won it, it would have been fine as well. They're all good horses, and it should be more of a celebration than a debate. I that's the only thing I wish people would take away from it.
Well, we are definitely celebrating, and you know, again, when like with her loss in the Breeders' Cup by a nose, I don't think she lost to any of us anyway with the effort that was put in, and I really think that, you know, it wouldn't have been a sad day for Blame to win, but gosh, we are just all such huge fans of Zenyatta, so you're going to have to probably just put up with us today.
No, I am too. I'm a huge fan as well, and I'm a huge fan of Frank Lovato. So he won the Eclipse Award the year before I did, and he was somebody I looked up to and wanted to ride like. So I'm glad we're on together.
Yay! Hi, Richie.
Hey, Frankie. I felt like it was a segment of Frank Lovato, this is your life. This voice is from your sixth grade teacher.
That's right. And Richie, you're speaking way too formal. This is a, you know, this is a very sketchy crew we got here. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Be yourself.
Okay.
Oh, Richie and I, yeah, we go way back. Actually, before we both started our careers, we were galloping horses for separate trainers at Belmont Park. And we used to cross each other's paths on the horse path every morning, and we both knew what the goal was, and that was to get our jockey's license. So we had this we had this competition, but yeah, it was in pure love. When we look back at it now, it's just amazing memories of when we were kids and 16 years old and passing each other every morning on a horse path.
You were a lot older than me, though, Frankie. Don't forget that part. You were together.
Yeah, well, I'm going to turn you in because I don't think you were 16 yet.
Yeah, well, the statute of limitations ran out, so.
I'm going to tell on you. You weren't supposed to be out there. But me and Richie, we had a lot of fun. Can you think of any stories, Richie, that you'd like to share?
Like, they said we, you know, this is a show they can't bleep us, so I think we'll leave some of the stories out. No, I just, you know, one of my favorite memories with Frankie, though, was riding a horse that was legendary in New York called Pete Moss. and he would win on such crushing burdens. And I remember Frankie going to the scale one day. I think he carried like 145, Frankie, or maybe even more.
Yeah, 145 pounds.
And you know, you had so much tack and lead and equipment. And you know, I was like standing there, you know, just a kid just in the room maybe, you know, a few months. And my eyes were like so big, I couldn't believe how much weight the horse had to carry. And then he won by about 9 or 10 lengths anyway. But that was one thing I do remember, you riding Pete Moss.
Yeah, you know, to add to that, the ironic part of riding Pete Moss at 145 pounds, which is, that day he carried more weight than any racehorse in history for that distance. That was like a first time in racing history, or at least in the record books. But the very next race, Richie, I had to ride a horse for Alan Jerkins that was in with 110 pounds.
Oh, my God.
I had to, well, this is jockey talk, guys, but I had to reduce and draw up to make weight for the race that was after I rode the horse that was carrying the most weight. So if you can imagine, I had to be at my skinniest.
And what people don't understand is that, you know, like a horse like Pete Moss with all that weight and how strong he was, and it was a 2-mile race, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You know, now you've lost weight to ride a horse later in the day, so you're probably not at 100% of the strength you'd like to be. And that's why jockeys are such amazing athletes, because whatever the conditions, whatever the circumstances, they rise to the occasion and do their job. And I know myself, a lot of times it would be adrenaline that would carry me through, because I had, you know, was so under the normal weight that I should have been. But that's part of our job, and I think that's why jockeys are amazing athletes. I hope people realize all that goes into it.
Let's talk a little bit about who won the apprentice jockey last night, and that was Omar Moreno. Do you guys know him at all?
I don't.
I don't know him at all, but I did catch a part of his speech, and I thought he was a really, really well-spoken young man. He showed a lot of poise last night, and you know that'll stead him well going far in his career, because you know, as a jockey, you not only have to have ability to ride horses, you have to have the ability to communicate to people and convey a certain amount of confidence and poise. And certainly from what I saw of him last night, he did that very, very well. And obviously, you know, he won a lot of races last year. So I think he's well-deserving. He might be somebody that actually could have a long future.
Yeah,
I agree.
He won
$16 billion, almost $17 million last year. And, you know, he topped the annual North American leading jockeys list in 2010. He rode winners in 369 of his 1,400 mounts. That, you know, any baseball player would love those averages.
Yeah, those are really, really strong stats. I mean, Frankie and I, you know, started in the era when a jockey made $6 million in purses. It was a record. I broke Steve Cawthon's record as a bug with $5.5 million in purses. So it just kind of shows you, you know, inflation-wise, where the purses have gone, but 369 winners is a lot of winners. I mean, well done. I mean, they're really, really congratulating.
And he beat out Garrett Gomez 124-60.
Well, no, that was Ramon Dominguez for older outstanding jockey.
Correct, yeah. Yep.
And that was well-deserved, too. Ramon, you know, he didn't have a big impact in the Triple Crown races or the Breeders' Cup this year, but if you watch him day in, day out, he just always puts his horses in the right place, you know, always gives them an opportunity to win. And, you know, he got it out the hard way, riding the inner track in the winter and you know, never turned down a mount. This guy rides a 7,500 claimer as hard as he does a grade one horse. So I thought it was well-deserved.
Now, I want to jump in here and talk to you guys real quick, because we do have a lot of new listeners and a lot of people that aren't that super familiar with the racing world. And I'm absolutely loving listening to the two of you talk, because you're speaking racing language. But just to Frankie, I want you to jump in and just tell everybody, you know, the dramatic difference from going from 145 pounds to 110, that, you know, granted, a lot of that's iron and the saddle pad, but that's you. You had to get down to under 110 pounds to make weight for this race, and then you had to add the tack on. And so you talk about what reducing is and that. And then I love it where you guys talked about being a bug, and kind of explain what a bug is.
Okay, where do you want me to start? The weight?
Start with the weight, and then the mig can do the bug.
Right. Well, unfortunately, there's all different methods to get your weight down. It's not, when I say unfortunately, it's not the healthiest means. But I used to reduce.
I was going to say, keep in mind, people are eating breakfast, right?
but there's all these different little tricks and stuff, and you have to build up a tolerance to being dehydrated and being able to perform, which it's really kind of sad to talk about, and it gets into a deep, dark subject. But I'll keep it light, just basically saying I was a reducer, meaning I used to hit the sweat box on a regular basis to get my weight down. Dieting and exercise gets you to a certain point where your body says, well, that's enough. You're not supposed to be any skinnier than this. But some of the jockeys aren't natural lightweights, so they have to take it to another level, to another extreme. So my thing was the sweat box, and I would spend anywhere from an hour to 2 hours a day sweating pounds off to make the weights for that day. And then when the races were over, I would replenish. You got to try to stay healthy. You got to try to take care of your body. But, I would have to drink water. So the weight's only temporary. It's only water weight. And that would just be answering to the scale, making your weights. You perform, and then you drink some water and get that fluid back in any electrolytes, the potassium back into your body with supplements and such. But that's one way.
To give you an idea, like I had had a really bad fall about 20 years ago, and I was out 7.5 months. And during the recovery time, they had put me on a steroid regimen to help promote the healing. I had broken my neck. And at my heaviest point, I was 140 pounds during the healing process. Now, to be a jockey, you know, particularly in New York, you have to be around 112. So when I knew I was on my way back and I got the okay to start working out and getting on horses again, I got down to 118 pounds just completely dieting and doing everything with a nutritionist and being as strict as I could with my body. And that was as low as I could get. So once I got to 118, I was stuck. And I was already really, really being very, very disciplined to get to that point. But now I have to lose at least another 6 pounds. And that's when, like Frankie said, you have to start taking the water out of your system to make weights that are probably, well, not probably, are definitely archaic. It's when, you know, people were naturally smaller. I think if you look at the average size of American people today, it is bigger than they used to be because nutrition's better. So it's a very, very difficult thing to do, and it's a really tightrope walk to be able to make weight and be as strong physically and mentally as you need to be to ride every day. It's not like, you know, oh, I've got a game Sunday and I get down to that weight. You have to do this 5 or 6 days a week. So it's a lifestyle. It's not just for an event. It's a whole way of life. And it's a rare person that's able to do it with any sort of longevity.
Yeah, you guys are amazing.
Yeah, it is truly amazing what you guys do and how long you were able to do it. And I know you just retired, Meg. Are you actually doing work for HRTV now?
Yes, yeah. I do 2 shows a week from home for HRTV. I've been given a terrific opportunity by Amy Zimmerman of HRTV and Steve Nagler. And they brought me on board, and I spent 10 days out at the Breeders' Cup covering the works and preparation for the Breeders' Cup. And at the end of the month, I go to Florida to cover a weekend of racing. And it's been a great learning process for me. I love racing. I really love to be able to reach people and explain things about racing and hopefully spark some more interest. But I'm still an apprentice, so I have the bug in this. And that gets back to our other question. the reason they call apprentices bug boys is that on the program, depending if you're a 3-star apprentice, a 2-star apprentice, or a 1-star apprentice, and I'll explain that in a minute, there's a little asterisk, you know, denoting which level of apprenticeship you're at, and they look like bugs on the program. So that's what people start calling, oh, he's a bug boy. And that's why people say, oh, you had the bug. Instead, you're an apprentice.
I never knew
that. Yeah, that's how that came about. And you're a 3-star apprentice, or 3 bugs, if you haven't won 5 races yet in your career. And then once you've won 5 races, you go do a 2-star or 2 bugs, which now you get from 10 pounds off your mounts to 7 pounds off your mounts until you win 35 more races. And then you have 1 year from the date of your 5th win with 1 bug. So you're an apprentice for basically a year and you can win as many races as you possibly can, like Omar Marino showed us 300 and some odd races in his bug year.
Wow. Well, you know, I wanted to ask you guys to get back a little bit to last night while we have you on here. Blaine didn't go away without an Eclipse Award. He won the older male, and Zenyatta won the older female award. And also, Goldakova did come away with the female Turf Horse Award. So all three of them did walk away with Eclipses last night.
And it was a great thing. I mean, they're all great horses. They're all champions. Nobody should be feeling bad this morning. And obviously, you know, Blaine's connections would have loved to have been Horse of the Year. But at the end of the day, it really, I think maybe too much is made of it. Zenyatta's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Blaine's going to throw a lot of babies that are going to go on to win big races. You know, nothing but good things came out of it.
And do you think, we asked Frankie this earlier, and Mig, I'd like to know, you just retired this past year. Do you think, well, first of all, we have talked about this on the show numerous times before, how racing really did need a Zenyatta at this time, and how racing really needs to become a sport that's followed by everyday people who maybe aren't the most serious bettors. They're not handicappers. They're people that like to watch horses run. And it used to be that way, and racing has gone in cycles over the past 100 years. And I think that we need more stories like Zenyatta to bring that back, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, what might have gone a bit unnoticed last night is that, you know, Uncle Mo got champion, two-year-old colt, and that could be a passing of the torch. And what Zenyatta started, maybe Uncle Mo can pick up on and finish, because I think he's probably the most talented two-year-old I've seen in a very, very long time. And he seems to have the mental and physical constitution to, you know, start to think about, you know, possibly a Triple Crown kind of horse. And as daunting a task as that is, this horse seems to have the tools to maybe get that done. He has tactical speed, but he's not rank, so he can place himself well in a race. Distance doesn't seem to be a problem. He's trained and ridden by the right connections. He certainly has the pedigree to get the distance of Belmont, you know, certainly the mile and a quarter of the Kentucky Derby, but the Belmont, you know, looking forward if he was to pass that test. So if Uncle Mo can pick up, and it's been, you know, since 1978 we've had a Triple Crown winner, and somehow pull off maybe the toughest feat in all of sport, not just horse racing, and win the Triple Crown, the attention that'll garner on top of Zenyatta may really, really help our industry, back to a place, a loftier place where it should be.
I got to tell you that I'm a huge fan of Uncle Mo, because Uncle Mo also does the social media thing that Zenyatta does. He's got his own Facebook page. I believe he has a blog. He is like, their owners get it too, as far as trying to bring the horse to the people. So you can become friends with Uncle Mo on Facebook and, you know, maybe help him make his way through the Triple Crown. God, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
It would be the shot in the arm we need, don't you think, Frankie?
Absolutely. And just to what Richie was saying, you know, with Zenyatta and what I was trying to explain, you know, there was no losers. Blame's an awesome horse, and it wasn't to discredit him in any manner. But I felt that there was some responsibility to support that momentum that the fans, that Zenyatta created. And that's what I was happy for. That's what I celebrated, was that.
And that's what should be celebrated.
Yeah, and to be honest, coming back, and I hate to beat this thing, but that's what horse racing needs right now. It really needs that. And it needs to go back to the days, you know, when you see the videos from the 20s, when for an average race, you can't fit any more people in there. and it will go back to those days and I did see hopes of that last night. I was glad you brought that up. In the Eclipse Awards last night, there were a couple of the people that got up, and they recognized Zenyatta's team for how they made Zenyatta a celebrity and a star outside the horse world. They understand now, I think some of the owners and the players in the industry understand now how important that is for racing.
Definitely.
But it is so important. And you know, you think back, I mean, Frankie and I were very lucky and privileged to kind of break into racing in the 70s. We started riding, Frankie, I think you started 79, and then your buggy was 80. And I was 80, and my buggy was 81. But we were galloping horses and fans of the sport and getting prepared for our careers in the 70s. And, you know, then you had Secretariat. When racing, you know, frankly, in our country was going through a very difficult time, the end of the Vietnam War, Watergate, that whole kind of era. And Secretariat, you know, absolutely broke into mainstream media, being on covers of three different national magazines, not racing magazines, and winning the Triple Crown. And then you had Steve Coffin come within a few years after him. You know, and in between, you had great racehorses like Ruffian and Forgo running. And then you had Steve Coffin, which was what absolutely made me want to be a jockey. You know, reading Sports Illustrated and seeing him on the cover and saying, man, I want to be like him. And then you had Seattle Slew win the Triple Crown in 77 and Affirm win the Triple Crown in 78. And now we had this kind of all this momentum, and it carried us through the 70s. And then and now it's been 30, it'll be 34 years since our last Triple Crown, or 33 years since our last Triple Crown winner. And that's what inspires the general public. You know, people don't know a lot about racing. They know about the Kentucky Derby. They know about the Triple Crown. And that's, you know, something that hopefully is going to carry on, because Zenyatta certainly sparked a lot of public, you know, outside of racing's interest.
Well, guys, this has been absolutely fascinating. Meg, I wanted to ask you a question. Because we were limited on time today, if we plan a show that we can get you and Frankie on, and we just plan a show with the two of you to talk about racing and to talk about, you know, all the different questions that Jamie and I still have about racing, would you guys agree to do that with us sometime?
Absolutely.
Of course. Of course, yeah, I would love to.
All right,
hey,
very good.
That'll be so fun.
I think it'll be a blast. And you know, we'll make it an hour and a half with you guys and just hit all the points. And I know HRTV has been, I wanted to thank HRTV. They've been very good in cooperating with us to bring us on guests. And HRTV is looking at maybe doing a regular segment with us every 2 weeks on racing. So we appreciate their efforts as well. Thank you both. Thank you, Frankie, and thank you, Meg. This has been absolutely fascinating. And, you know, as you can tell, we're not excited at all today here about Zenyatta. And I'm just thrilled for racing, too, today. I'm very excited for racing, and hopefully that Uncle Mo or whoever the next one is can take it and bring it to the fans. That's all we're asking for. And thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks for having
Jamie.
Me. Frankie, give me a call. I'll talk
yes,
to you.
Yes, Richie.
Okay. I know.
We've reconnected old friends.
Yes.
I love it.
He owes me a
phone
call.
Hi, guys. Happy Zenyatta Day. All right. That was Frankie Lovato and Richard the Mig Migliori. And they fascinating conversation. I was getting goosebumps.
Oh, my gosh. They were so cool. That is just, it's like you said, like reuniting old friends. It's like, this is your life. Here you go. But when you can get two guys like that talking, and that's why I wanted them to kind of explain a little bit of the insider language. I'm sure, you know, most people know what they're talking about, but there's some people that might not have seen, you know, The Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby movie where they explain all that, or watched all the episodes of Jockeys on what was the channel it was on, like National Geographic?
I think it was on
Animal
Planet. Yeah, that was awesome.
Animal Planet. Yeah. I mean, you learn so much about the jockey lifestyle that way. So, you know, by having these guys on and getting inside the heads of them is fantastic. I am really looking forward to that hour and a half show. And, you know, we encourage listeners, too, if you guys have questions, call 347-637-3238, and especially during that show, we'd love to have anybody on to just ask any general racing questions that you may have. Not all of us, Glenn, live in Lexington, Kentucky, and have horses on the front page of our newspaper every day.
We're going to be back right after this. We have Angela from Horse Girl TV on, talking about what's going on over there, and I'm sure she'll have something to say about Zenyatta as well. But first, our daily song today, I thought we couldn't play anything other than Lisa G. Fly's Zenyatta. And, you know, there's an interesting story here, too. She's an independent artist. She wrote this song, Zenyatta. It became big on YouTube, Jamie. But what a lot of people don't know is after the Mosses heard this song, they signed her to a contract with their record label. So here's Lisa G. Fly, Zenyatta.
There was no telling what would we be? They say they sold ship number 703. Not too bad looking, little bit furry. Shoot it for someone who's not in a hurry. Destiny smiled on that street cry daughter. She grew up and became Zenyatta. Everybody watched when she spread her wings. And now she's the queen of the Board of Kings. Zenyatta arrives, you feel the crowd swell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you hear the crowd yell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, if everyone says, we love you, Zenyatta, and good luck today. The paddock is crowded and Zenyatta knows it's all about her, so she points her toe. She busts out her best moves and she gets down low. Yeah, the big mama knows how to put on the show. Zenyatta, she's gonna be last from the gate. She'll be last at the half, last at the 3/8. She's last at the quarter, she's not gonna lose. No, she's checking with Mike about what gear to use. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, the other jocks say, you think you're alive, you'll just blow you away. Come into the lane, you can look, you will find her. You feel the ground rumble and then you're behind her. Big mother hen, clocking the speed, measuring them. She'll pass half the field in one moving jest. Smile, switch leads and more down the rail. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you hear the crowd roar. The grandstand is shaking like never before. She crosses the wire, she winks at her face. One ear pointed forward and one toward the stand. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you are the queen. The greatest racehorse that we've ever seen.
I'm going to have that in my head all day now, Jamie.
I know. That song is so good. Zenyatta, Zenyatta. I sing that all the time.
We have our next guest on the line here. I want to apologize to Angela for getting to you a little bit late. But you know what? When you have two Eclipse winners on the phone at the same time chatting with each other, you just don't want to make them stop.
I know, guys. That's a hard act to follow. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Sorry to put you on
Happy.
The spot there.
I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to go after this. You have to be kidding me. And then the song's amazing. Wow.
Angela
lot,
from Horse Girl TV. Angela, I want to give you a quick introduction here. I've known Angela for years and years and years since she started. Angela, I always say this. She's a little more humble. But I always say Angela is the one that started new media in the horse world, and she truly is. She was the first one to do a podcast, only she was doing the video form of a podcast. And she, as I said, she was the first one to do it, and it was so professional and well done, and that's why she's developed the audience that she has. Did I do that okay, Angela? Was it just like you wrote
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Can you follow me around all day and do that, Glenn?
Okay,
that
would be great.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to welcome you to the show, to Horses in the Morning. It's so fun to have you here. And we're going to have you come on every couple of weeks. Your shows come out twice a month. And we'd love to have you stop by after your shows come out and talk about them and you know, chat about what you're doing over there on Horse Girl TV.
Well, I am happy to do that. We're going on 5 years now. Do you know that?
Is that right? You truly were the first.
5 years, the first and the 15th of every month, going on 5 years running, and it's just kind of crazy. I realized that last week.
Well, you know, and Jamie, her shows, she actually has to, like, produce them because they have, like, video and editing and graphics and stuff. It's not like us where we just show up every morning and talk.
Yeah, she actually works for a living.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been teasing Glenn, like, gosh, you know, I should have done what you did because, man, this editing, it's, you know, we're in the editing suite a lot, and you guys just get to talk to people and have fun and just produce it, and wow, you know, radio is the way to go, but I guess I'm stuck with this video thing. I kind of enjoy it.
Well, you know, we have the easy job. Jennifer does all the hard work. She has to book the guests and make cool things like Frankie talking to Meg. You know, she makes all that happen. So Jennifer has the hard work, and, you know, an hour before the show every day, she gets on the phone with Jamie and I, says, this is what you guys are going to talk about today, whether you like it or not. And it's easy, right, Jamie?
It's kind of like that.
Like herding ducks.
Like herding ducks.
Angela, you had a show that just came out, didn't you?
We do. We have weekly content now, actually. We still do the 1st and the 15th, and we had From Set to Saddle come out on the 1st, yes. And that was with also a dressage radio show for Horse Radio Network with Mary Bonick Lawrenson. You guys are familiar with her and how amazing she is. And so I interviewed her. It was From Set to Saddle, talking about her modeling and her USDF stuff and just being an amazing young rider and what she's done for the sport. And then a few days ago on the 15th, we launched, we're trying to do a lot more eco-friendly stuff for 2011 is going to be a bit of the focus. And so eco-friendly horse bedding and ways to, you know, clean your stall and stuff. That was kind of actually a fun one, getting to play around outside. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So what's your weekly content?
Say again?
What's your weekly content then?
Weekly content, we're doing Horse Girl TV's Horse Life Weekly, which is just we get so much fan mail, and I started trying to answer the fan mail in the episodes, but it just kind of got to be overwhelming. And I thought, okay, if we can answer 52 questions a year, then I can at least cover a lot of them online, and, you know, we can still get back to everyone else via email. So it's just a lot of it's just answering questions like this morning we launched how do you get your horse business off the ground, because somebody emailed in years ago and said, you know, I have this idea for horse business, how do I do it? And so I was talking with Cheryl Rudolph of Fitz Riding, those awesome segmented breeches, and she answered it perfectly about the things that you need to do, the steps you need to take beyond just having the passion about it to start a horse business. So that's not a video. That's just a short audio segment. But now we're starting, for 2011, we're starting Horse Girl TV Classics. You know, going on 5 years now.
You're going to do reruns?
Yes. Yes. Oh, come on.
It's
Horse Girl TV Classics. They're not
reruns,
Gleb. That is not cheating. No, you got to think about it. We've been going on for 5 years now, and the people that have, we have some really amazing, faithful fans that have been with us from the very, very beginning episode that we launched, the pilot back in 2007. But we have so many new people that haven't seen a lot of that old content that's timeless content. So we're doing Horse Girl TV Classics, inspired by, you know, the VH1's Remember the 80s kind of theme. And just kind of putting stuff back out there for people that might not have seen it the first time around. And that's every other week as well, on the off weeks from the 1st and the 15th, the 8th, and the 22nd, I think it is, of every month.
Now listen, Angela, don't let them give you a hard time. Tell everybody it's a best of show. You know, like, it's like the Horse Girl TV's greatest hits. I mean, come on.
It is.
It's absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, and Horse Girl TV Classics, it's got the intro, our normal 30-second intro is cut down to 7 seconds with the Horse Girl TV Classics, and then it's just kind of relaunched, you know. A lot of the interviews, most of the interviews are timeless, so it's kind of cool just to get them back out there, I think. And Glenn can pick on me if he wants to.
Well, you know what I was just thinking, is it going to be 5 years, Jamie, till we can do a classic? That's a long time. We're going to have to be here every day for 5 years before we become classics.
No, we'll be running best
of
shows in
content.
We'll be running best of shows in February, Angela.
Right on. Yeah, I don't know. You guys do this Monday through Friday. Gosh, I applaud you guys. I applaud you guys, too, for doing the first live show. That's pretty amazing.
Well, it's fun, and we have a good time doing it. You know, I keep saying to everybody, Jamie and I say this all the time, we have the best job in the world. You know, we just had, you know, we have the most amazing guests and get to do the coolest stuff. And Angela has invited us to come out to her place, too. She happens to live near this little place called the Ocean over there in the Carolinas. And she's invited us to come out and record the morning show from her studio. So we're going to have to get that arranged here one of these days.
We need to do that. That would be awesome. Really fun. That would be a blast. And I'm thinking we video stream segments of it at least, just to add a little bit of a Horse Girl TV element to it as well.
Can you do that without it going me on the air?
Yeah, he has a face for radio, Angela, a face for radio.
Good, and you, I love that, but you have this infectious voice. And I think, besides your just brilliant personality, I think that voice is really, you hear that and you go, oh, that's Glenn. You know, when I ran into you at WEG, I was like, gosh, I wish he was talking right now because I could tell if that was him or not.
Well, thank you, Angela. We appreciate you being on. You're going to be a regular guest, and we're glad to have you here. And tell everybody where they can find your videos and all your content.
HorseGirlTV.com.
And, of course, on Facebook, too.
On Facebook, on Twitter, Horse Girl TV on Twitter, Horse Girl TV on Facebook, on iTunes channel is Horse Girl TV, and we do have a YouTube channel as well, but we love people to watch the shows on the site because our compressions for the website is much better quality than what YouTube allows us to have.
All right, good. So that's Horse Girl TV, and I will be getting in touch with you later in the week about that special project we had talked about. I made a little bit of progress there, too, that will surprise everybody with, hopefully, yeah. So I'm hoping that we can put that together. That sounds like a lot of fun, too.
I would love that. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
All right,
thanks,
bye, Angela.
Happy Zenyatta Day.
Happy Zenyatta Day.
Happy Zenyatta Day. Goodbye.
Oh, what a fun day. This is
terrific. You have secrets? You have a secret project that I don't know about?
Yeah, you don't know about this one yet, actually. kind of fun, though. And I don't think I even told Jennifer that I made the call yesterday about that. So we have things coming up that should be quite interesting this year. Well, this half an hour is sponsored, of course, by Pfizer Animal Health. Daily deworming makes a difference you can see. And you're going to want to hang around till after I'm done with this ad because we're going to find out about the puppies. Feed Pfizer Animal Health Strontium C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strontium C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more from Pfizer Animal Health at PfizerAH.com. Give us a call. We still have some prizes to give away, and you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. We want to hear from you. All right. Tell us, did you get the puppies?
Well, you would be crazy if you didn't notice already that I got the puppies. What was the complete racket going on during the Angela's interview? I felt so bad, and then the guys were talking. This is what you're hearing in the background, and that is a grocery store bag that was removed from the back of the refrigerator by a puppy. So we did get the puppies. It's awesome. I'm sorry. I'm so scattered. They're driving me crazy. They're here in the kitchen with me. They have been playing during the show nonstop. And, you know, we lacked a little bit of sleep last night because they actually missed their first flight. They were supposed to get here at 6:30. And the sweet woman who was going to the, you know, Charlotte Airport, which is must be huge, missed the terminal. Couldn't find the terminal. And, so they actually got in at 10 p.m. last night. So we were up late because you get two puppies that have been in a crate all day long, and then you get them out, and they were wild. They are wild. They are attacking each other. Hey, wait a second. Hold on. They got my sweater. Hold on.
And that's Jamie running to salvage the first of 5,000 items that these puppies will destroy over the next couple of weeks.
That's cashmere. My suitcase is still in here from my weekend skiing. and they just took all my clothes out of it. Oh, my gosh. Awesome.
I do have,
this is
you did send
fun.
Pictures over to me, which I'll post immediately after the show here, of the puppies at home. One thing I was surprised in the pictures is how small the puppies were. They looked so big in those other pictures, but when you see their hand, your hand on them, they were a lot smaller than I thought.
They're tiny, and they're so cute. And we did name the puppies. They do both have names. So do you want the names now, or do you want the names at the end of the show?
Oh, I think we have to wait, because we have a caller here. Monet Mary's on the line. Remember, we talked about the Monets yesterday, and Zenyatta had a Monet up there, and I never did get to see what the final price of that was, along with all the others that were up there. So let's, and of course, Monet Mary was the one that donated the pack of cards, the Monet gift cards, including Zenyatta's painting by rerun.org. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Oh, it is. It is. Finally, she gets her just rewards. I mean, we all cried last night. It was fabulous to watch that award show. And the Mosses and the Sheriffs are such wonderful people. It was just a thrill for them.
It absolutely was. I totally agree. And we talked about the Monets yesterday. We announced that they only had 13 hours left on eBay. And these are, of course, the paintings that were done by all of the Eclipse Award winners. And it was just amazing, the difference between everybody else, their prices, and Zenyatta's. So I got to imagine what happened last night. What was the final verdict on Zenyatta's?
Well, her painting, the last 3 minutes, it was a bidding war amongst all the artists, but her painting jumped like a $2,000 in the last 3 minutes, so her final bid was $5,611.12.
Oh, my gosh!
Wow!
That is a record. That's a record for our auctions. We did have an owner that paid $6,000 for his horse, and it was a one-of-a-kind only painting ever done, but this is the highest price we've ever gotten for a bid on an auction.
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh.
what was the next runner-up then? What was behind
the runner-up was actually, the runner-up was Cigar. He's our good old, he's our go-to guy. He always does well in the auctions because he's just such a fabulous horse and everybody loves him. And he jumped up from like $700 to over $1,000 in the last 3 minutes of his bidding, too.
Yay, good for Cigar.
That's awesome.
How did
AP Indy do?
AP Indy got 710. So he did very, very well, too. All of them, they all did well. And I know it sounds like a lot of money for a piece of art, but you have to remember it's an original artwork and it's tax deductible. So it's a win-win situation for everybody.
And it goes to an unbelievable cause.
And it does. Our horses can eat for another month. So
I think that's absolutely. Rerun.org is a great organization, and you have come up with one of the most clever ideas to raise money. It beats selling subs at school, or candy door to door. This is just an unbelievable idea, and congratulations. You guys must be thrilled.
Thank you, and anybody that wanted that Zenyatta and couldn't afford it can get a copy of it. We'll have a print available sometime this week. It should go up on our website, rerun.org. So as soon as the webmaster gets that up, it'll be available and the directions on how to get one. And it's going to be reasonably priced. I think it's going to be under $40. So it's a good thing.
Yay. We'll have to do that. Now, well, that one also will show the signatures, right?
Yes, it's a complete print of that painting that was sold last night.
Yay. Well, that's terrific.
Now, Mary, first of all, Mary, I have to say thank you so much for sending me the note cards. And like I said on the show the next day, that you have got to be somebody unbelievably special to receive one of these note cards, because I'm not going to part with them and mail them out to just anybody.
Well, you can always order more.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if they're Zenyatta worthy. You know, I mean, it's going to have to be somebody special. So we'll see what happens with them. I might just keep them. And maybe I'll order a print. Then I can part with the Zenyatta note cards. We'll see.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck with the puppy.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. If you can you hear them? There you go. They're fighting.
Thank you, Mary. This has been great fun. Let us know when the next batch is up for auction.
We will keep you posted. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Bye. Happy Zenyatta Day.
Thanks.
I do have to give, before you give the names, I just have to give a shout-out, a couple shout-outs. Everybody that's writing on our Facebook page this morning, thank you for doing that. We have a lot of people listening and some that can't call in this morning that have written on the page and they're loving the show. So thank you for that. I want to give a special shout-out. We have a new country that we have to give a shout-out to, and that's Sweden. Ann Svensson of Sweden wrote in, and she says that she follows Zenyatta from Sweden. She kept her husband awake half the night watching that race, and he was apparently pretty confident that she would win. And she says their heart's over in Sweden. They're still with Zenyatta, so Zenyatta's a worldwide thing, not just an American thing. And she also wanted to know if she could have a postcard, too, Jamie, a Zenyatta postcard. So there's one of your good friends you can send one to. And I asked her when she actually downloads the shows to her iPod and listens when she's at the barn taking care of the animals. So, hello, Anne. Let's give Anne a round of applause from Sweden.
Yay, Anne!
Yay, we're
Sweden.
Glad.
That's fantastic.
We are so thrilled every time we hear about a new country that listens to the show. If you listen from a different country than the United States, write it up there. Write it on our wall at Horses in the Morning. We want to know where you listen from. Okay, we're running out of time, so it might be time to reveal. Let's talk about Chad's puppy first.
Okay. Sorry, they were chewing on my headphone cord there. And I just want to let you know, Glenn, that this whole crate training at night is the worst idea I have ever heard. They screamed in their crate for like 2 hours. And as a, mommy now, it just about broke my heart. I couldn't stand it. They were screaming and crying the entire time. And Chad kept saying, "They'll stop. They'll stop. Just don't go get them. Don't go get them. They'll stop." And so ended up, he had some earplugs, so we had to put in earplugs to go to sleep last night because the screaming was so loud. But they did finally settle down in their crate, and I got them out this morning without them peeing in the house. I'm sure they've peed in the house a couple times by now. Actually, get out of my suitcase.
She has a
suitcase now.
Jennifer, she hasn't awesome. Puppy-proofed properly yet.
No, I can see that, yeah.
Well, we're getting the baby gate this afternoon to keep them in the front part of the house while I do this show. But, yeah, it's just they're out of control today. They're out of control. So Chad's puppy, the little boy that I guess you post a picture of him online. By the way, Chad was like a proud daddy. It was amazing watching him last night. We're waiting in the airport for them to bring the puppies down. It was like looking at everybody that was walking by to see if they had his puppy. And Chad is an OU graduate. He graduated from Oklahoma, the University of Oklahoma. And anybody who knows what goes on at those football games, they've got two horses, and I'd love to be named them after horses, that run out on the field every time there's a touchdown. They're two minis that are being driven in this wagon, and they run out and they run back, and their names, the horses' names, are Boomer and Sooner. And so everybody during the football games yells, "Boomer!" And then the other half yells, "Sooner!" Well, Chad named his puppy Boomer. So Boomer is the boy. He is absolutely
okay, that's
wild.
A good name. I like that name.
I like it, too. And he keeps – if you say the word Boomer, he looks at you. So, I mean, I guess he kind of said that was his name. Hold on. Can you hear them wrestling in the background?
Yes. And I can tell, we're going to have a very distracted co-host for the next 3 years.
No, they'll get settled in. They'll get settled in. I hope so anyway. My gosh, they're driving me crazy. And then I would like to announce, of course, the only name that I could name the little girl. We bring her home. She's running around super fast, speeding around, pouncing and jumping on everything. And I got her on the day they announced Zenyatta Horse of the Year. So there's just no other name we can call her besides Zenyatta. So,
yay!
Yay!
Yay! That's great. Is it going to be Zenyatta or a shortened version of Zenyatta?
Well, you know, Zenyatta has 40 names. I mean, they call her Queen Z, they call her Zenny, they call her Z. So she'll be any form of that, I will imagine. But I'm sure when she's in trouble and she pees on the floor, she will be, Zenyatta, get outside. And when she's sleeping, she's Queen Z. Look at little Queen Z, little princess. But right now, she's being Zenyatta. She's currently taking clothes out of my suitcase outside.
Well, the first one to post on Facebook the name of Jamie's new little girl puppy, the first one to post on Facebook that they know the name of Jamie's little girl puppy will win a pack of the Monet note cards, including Zenyatta. So that's the first one to post on Facebook. This has been a fun day, Jamie, and I know you need to get away and play with your puppies and put them out and childproof the house, please, because that's really what you need to do.
You know, what I got to tell you is that I got to let the chickens out here in a second. So they're about to have their first run-in with the chickens. And the chickens are not afraid of dogs. They will go after the puppies. So, I think it's going to be an exciting day.
Well, it's been a fun day for us. We thank everybody who listened today. We welcome all the new listeners. We hope you come back again tomorrow. We are here every day at 9 a.m. Eastern. We have a fun show planned again tomorrow. And, you know, I have something special we're going to take the day out with that I think it's just deserving of that. But I want to remind everybody that you can listen to the recorded show and all the past shows. If you're a first-time listener today, go back to horsesinthemorning.com and listen to all our past shows. Plus, on the Horse Radio Network, we have 8 different shows that we do every week, and you can find all of those at horseradionetwork.com.
Yeah, and go to Horses in the Morning, because we also did a show about Zenyatta. If you're that big of a fan, go back and listen. Just when in the search part up top, just type in Zenyatta, and the show we did about her the day before the Breeders' Cup is up as well. And, you know, gosh, thank you so much to Frankie Lovato and Richard the Mig Miglioria from the HRTV for coming on, and what a fun segment that was. So if you missed that, go back and listen to it as well. Two jockeys just kind of picking each other's brains and telling stories. And also, thanks so much to Lisa G. Fly, who we got to play her song about Zenyatta, and obviously Angela from Horse Girl TV as well. And thank you guys all so much for the well wishes on the puppies, and thanks everybody who said you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life, because like Glenn and Jennifer, they said this is going to be horrible, don't do it. But you can, if you missed the live show, you can always listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode at all. And we'll be back tomorrow, and hopefully I won't have pulled my hair out because of these wild puppies.
And the winner of the note cards on Facebook is Dawn Deems. Dawn, go ahead and drop me an email at glenn2ns@horseradionetwork.com with your address, and we'll get those out to you. And now there's no better way to take out to – yeah, go ahead.
Just her. You see what her profile picture is? It's actually Zenyatta. So she deserves to win. That's fantastic.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right. Speaking of Zenyatta, goodbye, everybody. Have a safe ride today and wear your helmet.
Kicked into gear, and here she comes, right on by. Zenyatta suddenly 2 in front. Here's the real Zen Master, and she's 1-11.
Continues to come at them stride for stride. Lethal Heat holding on to it, though. Lethal Heat, another creation. Zenyatta. So close, I think Zenyatta got up. And now going to come to the outside. And Mike Smith takes dead aim on the leaders and asks Zenyatta to go. And just look at her go. Zenyatta strikes the front, just playing with him here. He is going back and forth. And it's Zenyatta, Lethal Heat running on at the rail. But Zenyatta with condescendingly. Summer Bird in the red cap. As Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Conti on the inside. Summer Bird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Back to my tune. Zenyatta now just looking at her though. Zenyatta is playing with them. Yet another unbelievable.
Oakland. She wins the Appalachian Invitational by 3.5. Cam Kim second. Be fair, third.
Coming to the 16th hole, St. Trinian all out. Zenyatta trying to run it down on the money. St. Trinian still a neck and front. Zenyatta, yes!
Fox is in front. A huge run from Interval along the inside. Zenyatta now fully stretched. Interval there, but Zenyatta will keep her unbeaten record.
Here she comes. Switch is going to take over the lead from Moon to French. Zenyatta still has two lengths to make up and only a final furlong.